my body very obviously was like, I want carbs, I like carbs, because it would just shift me right out of keto really fast with like...
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture, adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to yet another episode of my personal diet experience with some of the most popular eating styles of at least the last 10 years. And for those of you who haven't listened to the carnivore episode or the intermittent fasting episode, highly recommend those if you are curious about like a premenopausal female's experience with some of these diets, because I think it would be really helpful for you to kind of hear, you know, an experience from not only somebody who still bleeds and has a cycle naturally, but also somebody who is a nutritionist who has a little more insights to the whys things happened or, you know, different things like that, which is why I'm sharing this diet series, I guess I would say, with you guys, because it is really important that you kind of explore and better understand before you jump into any of these diets, because, you know, most of these diets are excluding something. And overall, you know, most of you guys know my stance if you listen to any of my episodes. If you have not, well, welcome to the show. But also, I really invite you to explore some of my old episodes so that you can hear a little bit more of how I usually like to coach my clientele and, you know, everybody on my social media platform of a more balanced way to view their nourishment, because we have a wide variety of things that we can digest for a reason. You know, there's a lot of nutrients we get from a variety of different sources. So when you do an exclusive diet like keto, carnivore, vegan, any of those, you have to understand either the areas that you're going to lack as far as nourishment goes, you know, different vitamins, minerals, and even macronutrients that you may have to work harder to get, or understanding how it's going to affect your body when you do it. You know, so females, there's a lot I'm going to talk about in today's episode with keto that is a little bit nuancey. So definitely stay tuned till the, I'll say like middle end of this episode, because I'm going to share a little bit of that nuance with you guys so you can understand, you know, how females, especially menstruating females, should approach the keto diet, whether you should approach it at all, and who is a good candidate for the keto diet in general. But I'm not going to break down this diet to the nitty-gritty. Like I've said before, I'm trying to more so orient this around my own experience with it, but as always, your girl has to talk a little bit about it, because I would assume you also are coming to this episode and listening because you understand keto or you want to understand it more, right? So that is going to be some of the awesome stuff you can expect from today's episode. But I would love to invite you to go to the show notes, check out our social medias, join our community on there at Rebel Wellness Podcast or at Kaylee Loren. I am definitely more active on the at Kaylee Loren, as the podcast is kind of a placeholder for people who are on social media to come together and, you know, see when I always talk about when different episodes launch. We are on an every other Monday schedule so far for this season. And so that is a great place when you may not get the notification on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening through, that you will be able to find out what I just launched and what you might want to go listen to. So I definitely invite you to follow both of those and get in that community. And I am also going to be continuing to engage and give a lot more value for you guys in my broadcast channel dominantly. So if you've been on, like, if you're on Instagram, sorry, I'm not on TikTok. I did try the TikTok thing. It isn't my vibe. There's just too many platforms, way too many platforms. So far, I'm on podcasting and Instagram. And technically, these podcasts do go onto YouTube. So I am on YouTube and I have some old YouTube videos if you want to enjoy those. But currently, I'm on Instagram the most. And the algorithm is shifting, as always. And it's shifting in a way where, you know, you have to really find your people, and you know, you may not actually get your posts in front of them all the time, even if they follow you. So that's where the broadcast channel is super key, because it will be one of those places where, like, I'm sliding into your DMs and you will get a notification. Whereas posts, like, it's actually really a bummer because I follow some people that I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen any posts from this person and they've been posting. I'm like, there's like 30 posts that I missed from this person or that person. And I'm like scrolling through because I happen to see like them in my DMs or something like that from the past. I'm really bad sometimes at like staying on top of like clearing out old DMs or whatever. So I was doing that the other day and I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot about this person. I love this person's content. Have they been posting? Like, I've not seen anything. And then I go to their page and I'm like, oh my gosh, they have been posting. Ah. So all that to say, a little bit of a rant, I suppose, about the algorithm and how it shifts, but you don't fight it, you work with it. And so I know that the best thing that you could do if you want to directly be in the community and, you know, share your thoughts or talk about podcast episodes that you want me to have or do a poll or gain some free recipes or my clean beauty picks and all this different stuff, that is going to be on my Daily with Kaylee broadcast channel on my at Kaylee Loren page. So I would love to see you join. And other than that, the next best thing that you can do to come into the community is I have a one time a month health and wellness newsletter that I send out. And you can also join that from a link in the show notes as well. All right, guys. So let's dive into my experience with keto. All right. So keto, otherwise known as the ketogenic diet, is a diet that is high fat, low to no carb eating approach, and it's designed to shift your body into what is called ketosis, which is where it burns fat for fuel instead of carbs. Carbs are our body's first source of energy, by the way. So that's why, you know, you crave carbs sometimes when you feel like you're going to pass out. If you haven't eaten in a while or you have low blood sugar, you get that energy back from carbs because carbs get into the system and they create energy quickly. However, you can also create energy from fats, otherwise known as lipids. And that's dominantly where you're getting your energy from keto, but your body needs to shift into ketosis. So our bodies are really brilliant. They are so good at keeping us alive. Sometimes, you know, you have that one friend or person, you know, like our neighbor or something, where you're like, how the heck is your body like still functioning from all the things that you do? I don't know about you, but like, I will hear people or hear about lifestyles or people will tell me about things. And I'm just like, wow, man, the body's crazy that you can do all those different things or not do a lot of things and still be alive. All to say, that's what ketosis is the next way that your body is creating energy. And so it can be really great for stabilizing blood sugar, boosting your energy, supporting fat loss. You know, women should approach it a little differently for a few different reasons. I'm going to get into those here soon, but it's going to be a way to essentially optimize your body if you are maybe somebody who has blood sugar imbalances, you're pre-diabetic, something in that zone. You might even be diabetic. Keto can work well for type 2 diabetics. I've definitely taken several clients out of type 2 diabetes through ketogenic diet. That's why it's a therapeutic diet as well. It actually was designed as a diet to help manage epilepsy and seizures in children. And then they discovered that for different reasons, how it impacts the brain and the brain's neural pathways and basically not triggering seizures, they decided to explore it further. And then more people over time dove into it more and more. You know, you might have heard your parents go through the Atkins diet or something like that. That's a very similar, it's essentially keto, but it's missing some aspects. But essentially, anything that's low to no carb, you do have to make up the rest of your calories with fats and proteins. Fats are the most calorically dense gram for gram nutrient as far as macronutrients go. We have protein, carbs, and fats. Lipids are 9 calories per gram. Carbs and proteins are 4 calories per gram. So that's why when you eat a tablespoon of peanut butter, it's so many calories because it's essentially pure fat. There are some carbs and there is a little bit of protein in peanut butter, but mostly it is going to be a fat. So that's where you're going to see a lot of things that are high fat be calorically dense, right? So this makes keto diet a little easier because you are eating higher in fat and you are eating moderate amounts of protein. You don't want to overdo it in the protein because your body cannot, for some female bodies, especially because female bodies are very stubborn. Female bodies, especially premenopausal, love carbs. Just runs on carbs. Your hormones are happier on carbs. And so when you remove those carbs, you need to make up those lost calories through fats. So a typical, like if you were to imagine a plate, a ketogenic meal plate would be around 20% of a protein source, 5% or less of carbs, and 75% of fats. So it is extremely fat heavy, and you have to start to be creative about your fat sources. So where a lot of people go wrong with it, and my initial take before starting keto and experimenting with it would be, oh my gosh, it's so unhealthy. People are just eating bacon and butter and cream cheese. And I remember actually I was working and running this group class at the time at one of the first private training studios that I worked at. And there was a woman there who decided to pair the fitness program with keto. And at the time, especially being like a new baby nutritionist, because I was still finishing college at the time, I was like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure like if that's actually going to be good for you, because it was the heat of when keto was so popular again, you know, like the second wave post Atkins. And which this was around, I'll give you guys context, around 2016, 2017. And so this was like when I first started to look into it more, because I really, you know, I wanted all of the women in this group class to be, you know, properly supported. And I was not only the like director of the whole program, I was also specifically their nutrition outlet. So I did nutrition talks once a week with them. And I wanted to make sure, like as always, that I knew at least the best I could in the time of what's available as far as research and science goes to help them navigate these things, right? She was telling me of these different recipes that she was making. And one of them was like a cream cheese smoothie, and then mostly like sausages and buttery things and just cheese, you know, a lot of these meal items that I was like, where are you getting like your fiber from? Or like, where are you getting enough protein? Or I was just like, I don't know. I don't feel like this doesn't sound right. And so that's something I wanted to bring up, is that yes, there is a wrong way to do keto. And then there's also a, well, you know, I don't like saying wrong or right, but in this circumstance, I would say if you're trying to get the health benefits, like I listed early on, you're definitely going to want to do it the right way, which I will tell you a little bit of my revelation of how I did keto, what it did for my health, and how I followed more of a keto green approach. And that definitely served me well compared to a lot of people who do the cream cheese smoothie version, okay? So right off the bat, the first thing I want to say is I do not recommend that style of keto. There's definitely a way to do like a junk food keto. There's like junk food vegan. And then, I mean, there's not really a junk food carnivore unless you're doing like a lot of processed meats. That would be my version of junk food carnivore if you haven't listened to the carnivore episode. So with keto, you definitely don't want to prioritize these really fatty processed sources of fats, dietary fats, like your cream cheeses, your fatty cheeses, your bacons, your processed sausages, your processed meats. All of those things are going to not really give you the health benefits that you're looking for. And there are sugars in dairy, galactose and lactose, and you can eat too much dairy to where your body is now mostly prioritizing the sugars it's getting from those milk products. So you have to get really savvy. That's the next part of my experience with the keto diet, was that I got really good at reading labels and understanding what foods were like naturally just pure fat, you know, like your butters and things like that, or oils, coconut oil, etc. But you'd be so surprised at how many things have sugar added in it. For like, why? You know, I remember like being astounded with how much sugar was in certain sauces, like even the natural ketchups. You had to get like the no sugar added ones, different yogurts. And one of the important things that you have to do with keto is you have to calculate your net carbs. So this was definitely a diet where my skill set in counting macros was beneficial coming into it, because to get yourself into ketosis, especially as a female, your body's going to fight really hard. And because I'm a very carb dominant person, I get energy from carbs in a way where I don't feel heavy and tired and sleepy. I get very energized. And, you know, my whole life, I grew up mostly having proteins and carbs. Heavy fats was always actually tough on my stomach. And I just would never feel good if I ate a really fatty meal. So my whole life, I've pretty much never really been interested in like fried foods other than fries, but like fried oily chickens, fried steak, I don't know, a variety of all those different things were never like prioritized for me because I just naturally knew I didn't feel good eating them. And so shifting into keto, it was obviously having to shift into high fat and remove all my yummy carbs. And so I needed to track my macros. And I was finding as I was doing this, to calculate your net carbs, let me tell you real quick. So your total daily carbs, if you are somebody who tracks, is going to be the total amount of grams of carbs that you consume in the day. Your net carbs is those grams, the total, minus the fiber. So you have, you know, your soluble and insoluble fibers. And when you consume, you know, your insoluble fibers, they don't get utilized as energy in the body. Therefore, they are not part of your total daily carbs. So it is important to prioritize those insoluble fibers when you're eating keto, because it helps your body through nourishing your gut and getting that necessary fiber so you don't get constipated, which is why a lot of people when they go keto get constipated, is because they're drastically cutting their fiber intake. Unless you just weren't even somebody who ate fiber, because then maybe this was just another day in life for you. But for me, I'm very much a veggie girl. I have veggies in pretty much every meal. And so I had to shift to fibrous, low-carb vegetables. And, you know, like your spinach, your kale, I believe asparagus counted. There's a whole list, a whole bunch of different ones that are keto-friendly. So I typically would still eat those because I knew it was important to continue to get the nutrients and the fiber from those greens. And I also had to increase like my nuts, and I didn't really do a ton of seeds, if I remember correctly. I think the most I did as far as seeds would go would be like chia pudding, and which I definitely recommend, and for just fiber and the fatty acids that are in chia seeds. When they're activated, they have to be activated, so you have to be eating them in a pudding format, at least where they're hydrated, where they're all jelly and fish egg-like, which I know some people hate, but I personally love it. But anyways, I would eat that as well as, you know, your vegetables. And then I definitely oriented around high-quality protein sources. It was actually very interesting because I needed to prioritize fattier animal proteins, which for me meant definitely good quality sources of those. And I'm not like a fatty steak person. So this was actually really tough because like I don't even really love ribeyes. They're just too fatty for me. And I'm like such a picky person. If it's got like the jiggly cartilage, I just can't do it. So I still would usually actually eat the local market that was across the street from my old condo had these like prepackaged grass-fed Snake River Farms Kobe fillets. And I would just stock up on several of those because they freeze really well. And I would cook that and actually put like a tablespoon or two of like grass-fed butter on top of it, or like gorgonzola cheese, like a high-fat cheese. And that would be like a really good keto protein and fat-rich dinner for me. I would also try to prioritize more avocado because there's a lot of good nutrients of like potassium and fiber involved, as well as the healthy fats. And then, you know, at one point I'd say I really did enjoy incorporating a little bit more leafy green salads with like baby kale and arugula and spinach with like a lot of olive oil, which was nice because olive oil is like, they call it nature's Advil. It's definitely super healthy for you, especially when it's not heated. And so those were all things that, you know, I became accustomed to. I'd snack on nuts, like high fat nuts, like macadamia nuts, which I did learn on this diet that those go bad real fast because they're just very high in fat content. Like you could just blend macadamia nuts for like 3 seconds and they become macadamia nut butter. Whereas like almonds and peanuts, they take a while till they become nut butter. And so the fat content in macadamia nuts, when oxidized, like exposed to oxygen quickly, they go rancid quite fast. And so that was a bad lesson I had to learn because I bought a giant bag of them and could not get through them fast enough till I started having a funny taste. So that's how I learned about that when I did keto. But so with me, I would say the first thing that I always heard that you will probably always hear or have heard is the keto flu, right? So initially, I had already researched like, how do you prevent this? It was a little bit before it was actually commonly talked about that you need to have enough electrolytes. So the thing that you have to understand with ketogenesis is that your body initially, especially in those first 14 days, is going to purge all the water in your body looking for sugar, looking for glucose. And so what's going to happen is essentially you drop a ton of water. So everybody in the first week of keto or 2 weeks of keto where they're like, oh my God, I lost 5 to 10 pounds. It's body water. Straight up, it's body water. You simply cannot lose a pound of fat or several pounds of fat for that matter in that short amount of time, unless for some reason you stopped eating. But that's not good. Don't do that. And it also just, it usually doesn't happen that fast like that. So that's definitely water loss that happens. And what was very interesting to me is I had to phase into keto twice because I had a mistake. I think I had a trip or something. And then I kind of just had like a little bit too many carbs. And then like my body immediately shifted right back out of ketosis. And I actually didn't even have like that much. It wasn't like I was eating pizza or anything. I think I had like some fruit and stuff. And so it just really was a sign to me how much my body preferred carbs as its energy source. But it was fascinating because then I learned that I hold on average 8 pounds of water. That's just where my body just like naturally is hydrated at. It holds 8 pounds of water because both times that I phased into ketosis, I dropped 8 pounds of water. So it was actually cool because then I was like learning that like at least 8 pounds of me is for sure water. Which is like kind of an interesting thing. So, and several of my clients would, on average, I would say it was usually 8 pounds for my females. And then for my males, it was anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds. One of them, it was 15 pounds. And he phased into keto like 3 different times because we did it for a few different reasons and events over like the several years that we trained together. And it was always fascinating to me because I was just like, damn, 15 pounds of water, that's crazy. So anyways, that's a really interesting fact that I think is important to understand with keto. But with that water loss comes electrolyte loss. And so that's where the keto flu symptoms come in, because when your body is imbalanced with your electrolytes, your sodium, potassium, magnesium, chloride, when those are all imbalanced, you are going to have negative effects on your body. Your electrolytes are how your brain communicates to your muscles, and they are essential. That's just a really basic way to say it, because there's a whole bunch of other things that they do. A lot of those nutrients are also cofactors for a lot of processes that go on in your body. So that's why magnesium is so darn important. It does like 300 different systems in your body, or it impacts that many different systems in your body, which is crazy. So if you're not already taking like magnesium glycinate, like a cup, like 300 milligrams a day, definitely recommend that you include that into your nutrition. If you go to my website, actually, I have an Amazon link list where you can scroll through, and I have my usual recommended brands on there for ease of access, but I'm sure you could just find it on. I don't usually actually recommend Amazon for supplements because there's a lot of discrepancies of quality control, because some people have been known to actually swap out bottle formats of the actual pills, and it can be possibly a sugar pill, or it could be just a lower quality version. And then they have these things at home where they can seal them again. It's really sketchy. So I would recommend, if you can, I would always buy from the company. I do have a really good episode from last season talking about supplements and how you can figure out what the good quality one is and which one's a waste of your money. But I will say, the sources that I have linked on my Amazon are directly connected to the companies. So it's the companies that are shipping them from Amazon. So that would be my best recommendation for that. But you can also get, I do believe I have several electrolyte powders that are linked on there as well, because I get constantly asked, which electrolytes do I like? Because all of these different electrolytes have gotten exposed as time goes on of like their quality dropping or whatnot, including, you know, big brands like Liquid IV or Element. And Element is one of the most popular ones that people use for keto, because when you're doing a keto diet, when you're dropping all that water, your body needs more sodium, because you're losing a lot of that sodium every time that your body is, it stays quote unquote dry when you're in ketosis. And that's how a lot of people who do keto tend to look a little bit leaner more consistently, because their body is constantly purging water, and you need to replenish that with enough sodium every day. So the standard American diet recommendation of 2,300 milligrams of sodium is no longer actually applicable to you, because you need more. So you need more like 3,000 or 4,000 milligrams of sodium, unless you're super active. But I'm going to tell you a little funny story about one of the side effects of keto when it comes to being super active in a little bit. But to kind of tie it all in into the electrolyte conversation, to avoid that flu feeling, I made sure to have ample electrolytes every day of the assimilation phase. So that was roughly 14 days. Some people quote that premenopausal females need 21 days of being quite strict and consistent on keto and keto ratios of your food until you can really be assimilated in. And a lot of people have like the pea strips or all that kind of stuff. When I had researched it, I had found that it's more accurate to do blood strips and reading the ketones in your blood. So they actually make little, kind of like the same as the diabetic readers where you prick your finger and read the blood. They make ketosis strips. And so I bought those and I used those during my time doing keto. But I had also bought the strips from what I could find to be the most reputable. There's a lot of baloney strips online there that are not actually good, and some of them are already pre-primed to look, whenever they get wet with your pee, to be like you're in ketosis and they're really not reading your ketones. There's so many annoying scams. But I will say the ones that I had bought when I tried them, alongside the blood markers, I did find that the blood marker, when I shifted into ketosis, was definitely not the same as the pea strips. My pea strips hardly ever showed that I was in ketosis until like one day when I had done this giant hike. That was like a 5-mile hike, and I brought was water and nuts. And I was like, man, I'm going to be definitely in ketosis after this. And sure enough, I definitely was. So it is really important that you kind of know how to monitor it if you're trying to really get into ketosis. And some people shift into it way faster and some definitely don't. And I was one of those people that definitely didn't. So I definitely recommend doing the blood ketone reading strips, because I found better success and accuracy with that. But I know getting used to pricking yourself is not so fun, but kind of get used to it after a while and it's not so bad. So one of the other things that I experienced, so after I started to really fully get into it, I didn't actually have a horribly miserable time being like, oh my gosh, there's like, I feel like crap. Like a lot of people will hit that like day three or day four wall where they're just like, meh. I don't know if you've ever followed any vlogs or seen videos where people have shared every day, like they've done a vlog of like phasing into ketosis. Again, there was so many of them in like that 2017 timeframe. But I'm sure there's better ones nowadays, honestly. Those videos would always show them by day three to five being like complete zombies. Interestingly enough, I did not have that impact. I had that with carnivore, but I did not have this with keto. And so for me, I remember like the end of week one, starting to wake up and feel like awake. Like I didn't have that kind of like meh, getting out of sleep feeling at all. And it was very interesting to me because I was like, this is new. I was like, I just wake up and I feel like I want to get up and I'd still be sleeping deeply. And so for me, I was like, okay, I'm going to note that. And I was like, maybe this is related to like the whole shifting into less neuroinflammation and things like that. Don't really know if 7 days is long enough to do that. So it might have just been my body jamming in ketosis. But I also know that I just wasn't fully in ketosis at that point yet. So it just was really interesting that I shifted off of carbs and I felt like that. So that was one of the biggest things, as I definitely got the keto clarity that a lot of people talk about. And so for me, that was very interesting and I was like a big fan. But it was definitely interesting starting to try to add in some of those little specialty things like MCT oil or what was it? Some of those, like they had some ketones. Yeah, that's what it was. It was ketones that you could drink. And I remember one of my clients who was super into biohacking stuff, and he had bought a bunch of these really expensive ketone drinks and gave me one. And I was like, I don't want to waste this. This thing was expensive and it's like one drink. So it took me a really long time to try it, but I was like, okay, I'm in keto. I do not plan to be in keto my whole life. Let's go ahead and go for it. Tasted nasty. It was disgusting. I did not like it, but I definitely felt like a little spurt of energy. So I'm not really sure if like those things kind of have a placebo effect or if they have like a short-term effect just because they're like a dose of ketones and your body already is creating ketones. I honestly didn't look into it a whole ton because I wasn't sure if that was just kind of one of those things where people were trying to profit off of what was popular at the time. But I will say it was definitely not worth what he paid for them. I think for like a pack of three, it was like $75, which is insane, right? So for me, I wouldn't really recommend any of those ketone enhancing drinks. I don't think that they are necessarily helpful, but I do think a good quality low sugar electrolyte is a great move. And again, you would just need to check the backs of them. They even make capsules that are essentially just like pure electrolytes. They don't have any flavor. There's no fanciness to them, but you definitely still need to make sure you're drinking enough water. So that's one other thing that I forgot to add to the electrolyte conversation, is that you need so much consistent water on this diet because you can definitely dehydrate yourself on top of not having enough electrolytes. So that's where you kind of risk things if you do not take care of that. So you want to start your morning with at least 20 ounces of water with electrolytes. It is really good for you to potentially stock up on spring water, so water that already has minerals in it, as your like daily drinking water while you're in ketosis, because that's going to just help your body stay amply hydrated because your kidneys need water, okay? Especially when they're filtering like crazy all the water out of your body. So keto clarity was great. Being no keto flu, awesome. The funny thing that I told you I would tell you about was activity got weird. So while my brain and everything was operating like at 100% or more, it was like 105%, I felt like my muscles were not. And I was definitely like peak of my fitness time. I like plyometric work. I like heavy lifting. I like kettlebell work, all those things. And so for me, when I also like bouldering. So the funny story that I wanted to share with you is I would say like a month into keto, and my friend asked me to go bouldering with him. And I was like, sure, why not? I hadn't done it in a few weeks. since, honestly, I think since starting keto. So it didn't even like dawn on me that I might not be the same level of strength as I had been the many times before. And so when we got to the gym, I remember I was starting to climb up one of the walls and I made it halfway through and my body just stopped. Like I was stuck. Like I literally couldn't even like lift my arm up higher. It was the strangest experience. And I was like, okay, well, I have to tell you something. I'm following a keto diet right now and I like literally do not have any strength. I cannot climb today. And we were just like died laughing for a second because I was like standing, like not standing. I was like gripping the wall and I was like frozen. And he was like, what's up? And I was like, and I remember like jumping down onto the pad and just feeling like my body was like a giant cramp. It wasn't like super painful, but it was just like I had no energy to access. And that's when I had realized that like I didn't have glycogen in my muscles because I wasn't eating carbs. And so my body was very much like just living off of lipids and protein. And I didn't lose any muscle while doing keto, but I could not really gain muscle or use my muscles. So then as I explored that more and looked into it, it was one of those things where they definitely said, you know, it's not really recommended that you try to build muscle or anything like that while doing a keto diet, especially as a female. Very hard to do unless you're taking like performance enhancing drugs or a very specific tailored targeted keto. So there are different forms of keto, and a targeted keto is you eat a very targeted amount of carbohydrates once you're fully assimilated into ketosis, where you eat those carbs right before your workout. So you access those carbs during your workout. Most of the time, males can get away with that better than females, but some females can, especially if you're postmenopausal. Postmenopausal is going to be the category of female who is best for keto. And again, more of a keto green. There's actually a practitioner named Dr. Anna Kabeka. She does a really great way of giving you exactly how to eat as a postmenopausal woman who wants to have health benefits and hormone benefits of a keto diet. And it's called the Keto Green Diet from hers. She has a book. Definitely recommend it. But postmenopausal is who should probably be doing keto, possibly long-term. Anybody who's still menstruating, don't really recommend it. Your body needs carbohydrates for specific reasons, and it is pretty hard to execute a very healthy keto diet every day to day. And that kind of like gives me a good transition to kind of let you guys know that it was actually not that hard to do keto when eating out. I would say a lot of people kind of think that it could be miserably hard, but keto was so much easier than like carnivore or even vegan at times. When I did keto, it was like, can I just have a burger with no bun or with lettuce? And, you know, there's so many food items that like you could definitely do and just add more butter to it or cheese or, you know, there's actually so many things. It was actually pretty fun in a way because like you're kind of just getting like the most fatty thing possible. And most restaurants have one of those things on their menu. And it actually is really easy to stick to when you find your groove of where your proteins and fats are coming from, because salt and fat is super palatable. It's always yummy and it's very filling, again, because fat is really high in calories, so it digests very slowly. Kilocalories, guys, just correlates to how long it takes your body to burn that molecule, to utilize that molecule. So if you think about it like that, that's why it's 9 calories, is because it takes that long to digest, if that helps you at all. But so it's yummy. Everything, pretty much everything keto is super yummy. So it's really not hard to eat that way. I would say that just the hardest thing is when my cycle would come around, and naturally our bodies, especially if you're naturally cycling, in your luteal phase, your body is calling for more carbohydrates because it's preparing to shed. It's preparing to do a really metabolically expensive system. And so you need extra nutrients to prep for menses, for when you bleed. And so carbs are the main thing that your body wants in that time. So for me, that was when I would start dabbling with like the keto desserts, which I definitely spent a good 3 weeks dicking around with keto desserts because I was like, oh, it's sweet and it's yummy and blah, blah, blah. And supposedly it's still keto. And I would buy all these like birthday cake flavored nut butters that were supposedly keto friendly and keto peanut butter cups and all that stuff, which was fine. But then I started to realize when I was checking my ketones with my blood that it was like going less and less and less. And so I was like, yeah, okay, definitely can't get carried away with the keto desserts. So if you are somebody who's doing keto as a menstruating female, whether it's for a therapeutic reason for short term or for whatever reason that aligns with you, I definitely wouldn't do any of the keto desserts except for around maybe your cycle, if that's what helps fulfill those cravings. Okay. But I would say that, you know, it is really easy to get carried away with the keto desserts. I remember another client of mine, we were doing it at the same time. She was about 15 years older than me, but she's a big foodie as well as along with me. And we were like, oh, did you see this keto dessert recipe? Or I made this one and it's really good. And that was fun. But then we definitely both realized, we're like, okay, now we're just making desserts that are like high fat with like fake sugars. And so that's where I also think keto can go wrong, is if you do too much of that stuff. So kind of essentially one of the biggest takeaways is that keto, like any of these other diets, is best executed with real whole foods that fit the ratios of macronutrients that you're looking for. So you want natural sources of fat, you want natural sources of protein, and you want fibrous, real sources of carbs. You don't want to be having all that psyllium husk powder and things like that to artificially get things going. Or please do not use like Metamucil. There's like food dye in Metamucil for like what reason? I read the back of the bottle in one of my clients' garages and I was like, why? Why does it have to have this in there? So I definitely recommend that you guys consider, if you are considering keto, to make sure that you're either following one of the many cookbooks that have really great keto green style recipes available to show you how you can really eat nourishing and healthy foods that are keto ratios. Definitely would not recommend the processed stuff, the fake keto treats, you know, all those different things. Don't really recommend them if you're going to follow keto and you want to get the best benefits. Okay, so before I kind of close out my diet experience with keto, I do want to just add in some of the little nuanced things that I think are extremely important for especially my female listeners here to know about the keto diet, because you need to approach it differently than males because of hormonal fluctuations, metabolic differences, and basically long-term sustainability concerns. So let's go through those real quick. So the first thing to know is that keto definitely alters your hormone levels. It can lead to irregular periods because it can impact your estrogen and progesterone, which those are your two major hormones that are in play with a natural cycle. Things that are a little tricky are if you are on birth control because you are not naturally cycling. So you may not actually have those reactions, but I will say that that doesn't always mean that it's good. A lot of people like being on birth control and skip their fake bleeds, the sugar pills and all that kind of stuff. Or if they're on IUD, they like not having consistent or even periods at all. However, I will tell you, be very careful about that, especially if you're in your like early to mid 20s or even in your early 30s. If you want to have children later, it's going to take you so much more time than they tell you to get your hormones back in check, because they do get imbalanced with prolonged use of birth control, of hormonal birth control. So I definitely have several episodes from last season on this topic, especially detoxing from birth control. So definitely check those out. But when it comes to keto, you may not have as many obvious reactions to your hormones through your cycle if you are not really cycling, if you're not having ovulation naturally. The other thing that can be impacted is your thyroid. So drastic carb reduction can lower your T3, which is your active thyroid hormone. So that can potentially slow down your metabolism and things like fatigue, hair loss, or cold intolerance. I will tell you, carnivore definitely did that for me. I did not see that with keto, but I will say I definitely got my thyroid levels checked with my naturopath at the time then. So I did not see T3 numbers change while I was doing keto for me, but my T3 numbers definitely changed during carnivore. So that's something that I think is really important to note. If you are somebody who struggles with thyroid issues, maybe you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is autoimmune thyroid, or maybe you do have hypothyroid or hyperthyroid, I would definitely make sure, as with anything in this episode, always discuss drastic nutrition changes with your practitioner. But especially if you do have any diagnosed issues with your hormones and or your thyroid, I would definitely avoid probably following a keto diet. It could be too much. So another thing that is a good consideration is that women are more prone to adrenal dysfunction, otherwise known as HPA axis dysregulation, and also called adrenal fatigue. People are moving away from that term. A lot of practitioners don't like it. It's almost like us in the training world. We don't like when people say you look toned, because muscle tone is actually not at all what we picture it to be. We're talking about like leanness, density of your muscle, and the shape of your muscle. People call that tone, but that's actually not the technical term. Random caveat. But same thing goes for like adrenal fatigue. So for me, I actually am somebody who has HPA axis dysregulation, but that's something that I've had more so not correlated to keto. It actually happened later, more around 2019 or so, definitely probably steamrolled by 2020, because that was literally one of the most stressful years for trainers around the world. That is something that women are really prone to. So keto, if it's very strict and long-term, and again, you are pre-menopausal, it can really elevate your cortisol long-term and push you into more of an adrenal dysfunctional place, which is not so good. And so you could be starting to experience like poor sleep or anxiety or fatigue. And so you would definitely want to consider not doing keto if that is a situation that happens to you, or stopping it if you are starting keto and that happens to you. Keto also removes a lot of fiber-rich carbs, so it can potentially impact your gut microbiota as far as diversity goes, but you just need to incorporate more non-starchy veggies, fermented foods, and resistant starches like green bananas or cold potatoes or rice. But again, I don't usually recommend that you incorporate some of those, because it could be too easy for you to shift yourself out of ketosis. But there's even great products out there like Fluorosophy, which is a natural blend of different natural fiber sources, including like chia seeds. And that stuff definitely works. Highly recommend. It's linked in my Amazon link on my website. So you definitely just want to be paying attention to that as far as having a healthy gut. And the last part that is a really good consideration is that if you're somebody who is looking to get pregnant soon, depending on a lot of very specific metabolic medical situations, it is not really recommended for fertility or pregnancy that you follow a ketogenic diet, because extremely low carb diets, like I had said before, which are not positive for your hormones, can signal quote unquote like a starvation mode type situation to the body, which can affect ovulation. So our bodies will not ovulate if they're in such a stressed state that they do not believe it is a safe place or time, safe environment to grow a baby. So this is very common for women who have struggled with restricting their food long term, or trying to maintain a very lean physique for too long, and they may find that they are having trouble with conceiving. And, you know, times like now, it's unfortunately really tough because there is a huge fertility crisis for a whole lot of different reasons. But it is one of those things where when you're doing extremely low carb eating, your body is not a healthy, happy place to grow a baby. It's not in a nourished place. So you'll usually hear from fertility doctors that you need to put on body fat if you're somebody who's very lean. But same concept goes for carb, ketos being low carb. So you definitely need to consider not following a ketogenic diet while trying to conceive, and definitely not while you're pregnant. I highly recommend that you do not do that. Your baby needs glycogen, and it is most easily accessed through carbohydrate foods. So if you are somebody who's keto and you're wanting to phase into a fertility zone, I would slowly phase yourself out of keto and then follow more of a mixed plate diet where you're having I usually recommend the healthiest ratios of macronutrients for people who are just wanting to be in a most nourished state and have a balanced life where they can get away with having treats here and there. It would usually be around 25 to 30% of protein, around 30 to 40% carbs, or around 30 to 40% fats. It depends on if you're somebody who likes more fats or you like more carbs. And so those are really good natural ratios. Find what works for you. Obviously pick it so that it adds up to 100. That's something that sometimes some of my clients will miss when they're like, I made my macros, and they show it to me and I'm like, okay, that adds up to 105%. But if you're using like a macro tracker, it's going to obviously tell you, because it only allows you to log up to the proper percentages. But again, those are like round number percentages. Find what works for you. That's always what's the most important thing when it comes to any diet that you eat. But overall, guys, I would say I definitely found some really great benefits when I personally followed the keto diet. The first time I followed it for about 3 months. The second time when I had the little split, I would say I did it for about a month and a half. And then I finally started to realize that like it seemed as though my body very obviously was like, I want carbs, I like carbs, because it would just shift me right out of keto really fast with like maybe having 50 grams of carbs. So my body just kind of, I listened to it and I understood that like, okay, well, this was fun while it lasted. I definitely miss the keto clarity. I would possibly consider doing it again in the future, maybe therapeutically, maybe during like postmenopausal. But I would definitely say for those of us who still are cycling naturally, it is better for you to find a more whole nutrient dense, multi-macronutrient inclusive diet versus any one that removes entire food groups like carbohydrates. So, all right, rebels, that's it for my keto experience. I hope that was helpful for you and gave you a little bit of insight when kind of considering it for yourself, or if you wanted to explore maybe the ways that it went wrong for you if you tried it in the past, and you know, maybe do it better the next time. Or just maybe not do it at all. But I hope that you can share this episode with anybody that you know that's either doing keto right now or is considering doing it. And I would love for you to give us a rating on wherever you're listening. Most of our listeners come in from Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It would help our show grow if you could take 2 seconds to give us some stars or even write us a quick little comment. That means the world to us. We've gotten several new ones lately on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for you guys who take the time to do that. It is the only way that we get exposure naturally on the podcast algorithms. So, as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you next 2 weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do it yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live. So stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand curated, not AI generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.